Hey, welcome to another episode of Cardigans and Conversations at Penn Yan Public Library. I'm Alex, the Adult Services Librarian.
I'm Sarah, the Youth Services Librarian.
Awesome. So we're still trying to kind of figure out our format for this ongoing podcast we're doing, but we're just rolling with it and seeing what happens today. So I thought we would start by listing some of the upcoming events we've got for kids and adults. Sarah, would you like to talk about some of yours coming up at the in December or the end of November?
Absolutely. So many people know Starshine moved to a Saturday this year. It's Saturday, December 1st, and we thought we'd tag along by having a family reading festival the same day, Saturday, December 1st, from 2 to 4 here at the library. We're collaborating with the elementary school library on this, and it's going to be super fun. We're going to have a book giveaway. We have a young Santa coming to read to kids, and we're going to have Read to Rudolph, where some of our favorite therapy dogs are going to come wearing their cutest antlers, and kids can read to them. And, of course, lots of free hot cocoa. We're thinking about opening the door on a main street, and it'll be just a great way to get into that Starshine spirit here in Penn Yan. And on Monday, December 10th, we're having a toddler dance party. That's at 9:30 in the morning. Those are a great time. Wear your dancing pants and your dancing shoes. But, of course, toddlers don't always have to wear shoes. They can take them off. And we play lots of music, we listen to lots of stories, and we move a ton. So it's a great way to get any energy out, especially if the weather's lousy. You know, come dance and have a great time. Get some books while you're here. And then the very next day, Tuesday the 11th, we're having a cookie crafting service project for our kids who come after school. So we happen to be right across the street from the Presbyterian Church where they have the cookie walk every year. So this year we thought we would help out, and we're going to make lots of chocolate-covered pretzels with sprinkles and all kinds of decorations. And the kids can make them, and they can take some home. And then the rest we're going to donate to the Cookie Walk, which is a fundraiser for the Cuco Comfort Care Home. We're still planning some other stuff for December. Like, I was going to talk to you about a classic Christmas movie marathon. Ooh. So we'll get our heads together on that.
Well, there's always more coming from the library. We're never quite sure what we're going to end up with, but it's always really great. And those programs sound awesome. I'm especially I wish I could come and see the reindeer dogs. Maybe I'll stop in that day. Awesome. Well, on the adult side, I want to make sure to plug the last couple of things we got coming up here in November. It's always one of my favorite days of the year at the end of November when we have International Games Day. And we usually just throw a bunch of the library's board games, and various people bring their own board games. We throw them up on a table, and whoever comes can just decide what looks fun to them and you know, pair off with a friend or whoever they came with, or meet some new friends and play some games. So this is an international affair. Some years we get involved in some of the bigger activities going on, like we've in the past done international telephone game, which was fun, but this year we're just doing the games. So if you're into board games of all types, definitely want to come on Saturday, November 24th, from 11 o'clock to 3 p.m. Stop in whenever you want. We've also got our new Ancestry.com support group next Tuesday at 5 o'clock. We had our first session back in October, so this is the next step. And we just kind of have people who have used Ancestry or are interested in getting into Ancestry.com share their experiences and any little tidbits of information they may have. And it doesn't have to be limited to Ancestry.com either. If you're interested in genealogical research at all, absolutely come, and you might learn some new tips and tricks. And then just a couple of things coming up in December I want to make sure people know about. We've got a Tech Basics session on Monday, December 10th at 2 p.m. that's all about keeping in touch. So if you want to learn how to keep in touch with your grandkids on Skype, or how to do a group text message so you can talk to your whole family at once or all your friends, we're going to talk about all that stuff, and you can share some of your own strategies. And then we've got our annual Thank You Note Salon on Saturday, December 29th at 1 p.m. And the big new development this year is that we're going to be doing that at Millie's Pantry rather than at the library. So that's a great opportunity at the end of the year, taking stock of everything that's been happening in your life over the past year and just showing your gratitude to the people, places, and things that have contributed to it. So definitely make a plan. It's great for the family. It's, you know, a good time to have your kids write thank you notes to grandma for whatever they got for Christmas or any other holiday.
Just to make things extra confusing, I stole your idea, and we're doing one this coming Friday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, awesome.
So that's an all-day drop-in program. But I think it's really important that we teach everybody, our young people and our old people, that it's important to say thank you. So
absolutely.
Thank you for letting me steal your idea.
You are very welcome, and thank you for seeing value in my idea and stealing it. And I think having two thank you note salons is double the benefit. So that's awesome. And one more thing we want to point out, our friends from Cuker Writes, the newly rebranded PY Writes, you may recall, have another free write coming up in December on December 11th at 6 p.m. And that's going to be all about taking inspiration from classic song titles. So that'll be a lot of fun. And speaking of Cuker Writes, we have another guest here with us today. It's our library friend, Bethany Snyder, and she's going to tell us some recent happenings in the world of Cuker Writes and Bluff and Vine. So, hi, Bethany.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me today. So, Cuker Writes, we've got some really cool stuff going on. Our second issue of our literary magazine, Bluff and Vine, is now out. You can buy a copy on Amazon or shop local. And Long's Cards and Books is actually out of it. I was there today. They sold out, and they've ordered a ton of new copies for the holiday season, so you can get a copy there. And we are having a reception for issue 2 on December 10th at the Ark of Yates on North Ave in Penn Yan. It's going to be from 5:30 to 7:30, and you can mix and mingle with authors and artists and browse the art, have something to eat, and enjoy the company and support your local writing community.
All right. Thanks, Bethany. So we're going to introduce a new segment to the podcast today called Librarians Read the Local News. I kind of got this idea because it occurred to me that not everyone can sit down and read the local newspaper all the time. I know there are other ways to get your news audibly, and there are some great local radio stations. But I think it's important to our civic duties to take a look at the newspaper, read what's going on in there. And so I've chosen an article from last week's Chronicle Express. And I'm going to read that to you so that you can keep abreast of what's going on in our community. Okay, so you're going to hear some paper rustling because I actually have the paper here in front of me. It's such a great tactile experience. So this article is called Clock is Ticking for Plan by Gwen Chamberlain. The local planning committee wants to see project proposals by December 10th for a plan to be submitted to the state next March. Penn Yan. When about 120 people turned out for the first meeting of the Village of Penn Yan's Downtown Revitalization Initiative Local Planning Committee November 8th, they learned more about why the village was awarded the $10 million grant and the timeline for submitting applications for project funding. The Local Planning Committee, which includes representatives from village, county, state, and local agencies, as well as local businesses, met with consultants from Labella Associates in the public meeting to review the committee's responsibilities and the application that has earned Penn Yan $10 million from the state. The committee agreed to a process that calls for businesses and organizations to submit requests for information to be eligible for funding by December 10th, and a final overall plan to be complete for submission to state officials in March. An informational meeting for potential applicants was held at 1 p.m. November 16th in the boardroom of the Penn Yan Village Hall. The consultants will begin meetings with stakeholders the week of November 26th, and the committee will hold a public meeting November 27th. Questions and comments during the public portion of the meeting illustrated concerns people had about the makeup of the committee and the ambitious deadline for gathering the information needed for the application deadline of December 10th. Volunteers make this community run, said Chris Pearson, executive director of the Yates County Arts Center, noting the timeline is short for these groups to be able to come up with projects and details. Other questions from the public focused on parking, traffic flow, the boundaries of the project area, housing needs, and employment concerns. What kind of projects? The Penn Yan DRI Local Planning Committee will consider public improvement projects, private development projects, revolving grant and loan projects, as well as branding and marketing projects. The project location must be within the DRI boundary and will be evaluated by the Local Planning Committee before inclusion in the overall plan sent to the state. New York State officials will have the final approval of projects. The DRI area includes 234 acres in the historic commercial core, the Cuca Outlet and Cuca Marsh area, village parks, and the Cuca Lake waterfront. A map of the DRI boundary is also on the village's website. The purpose of the December 10th submission of information is to identify potential projects that can provide economic and community development benefits. Projects will be vetted by the committee at future meetings that will be open to the public. The LPC will consider each project, which should be implemented in 5 years or less and located within the DRI boundary using specific criteria. The December 10th submission should provide basic information about potential projects, including project scope, description, budget, and financing. The local planning committee encourages all project ideas that could promote the revitalization of downtown Penyan. According to Ed Flynn, the Labella consultant, the initial applications can give basic information with the understanding that more detail can be developed before the final application deadline in early 2019. Project criteria includes: the project is visually prominent and the proposed improvements will have a significant visual impact on the DRI target area. Funds will be used to improve upper-story residential units. The project improvements will improve a historically significant building, architectural historic value, and/or relationship to history of the area. The project will promote economic development. The project is consistent with plans for downtown. The applicant has proof of other funding, and the project is ready to go. The application completed by Steve Griffin of the Finger Lakes Economic Development Center that was successful in securing the $10 million grant included 19 potential projects as examples of efforts that will transform the downtown area. For example, Cuca Outlet Housing Development, planned Water Street Townhomes, NYSEG Gas Plant on Water Street, Long's Opera House, Belknap Books Building, and so forth. RFI project forms are available on the Finger Lakes Economic Development Center website, www.fingerlakesedc.com, the Yates County Chamber of Commerce website, www.yatesny.com, and in hard copy at the Village Office, 111 Elm Street, Penyan. Questions can be directed to the DRI consultant, Labella Associates, Ed Flynn, eflynn@labellapc.com, or 585-295-6285. Wow, that was a long one, guys. Thanks for bearing with me on that. But I think it's important for us to all keep aware of what's going on in our community. This is a big project with implications for economic development. I want to thank Gwen Chamberlain for agreeing to let us read a couple of her articles in each episode. I want to encourage everybody to make sure to pick up copies of the Chronicle Express. They can be found online. They can be found at the library. And hey, why not get a subscription if you're able to? So I thought it'd be fun now for us all to talk a little bit about a librarian's favorite subject, just to be stereotypical about it.
Cardigans?
Oh, not this time. That's our second favorite
Cats?
Topic. That's okay. All right, you got me.
Tea?
Our librarianship
Shushing?
Is showing.
Shushing.
No, none of those things. Why, what we're reading and or watching lately. And I say watching because librarians are not all about books. We're just about pop culture and educating ourselves and informing ourselves in the world. So, Sarah, are you doing any of that stuff lately?
Yeah, I have been reading a really interesting book called, I'm going to get the name wrong, but it's called The Body Keeps the Score. And the author is Dutch. His name is Van der Kolk. I'm so sorry, I cannot remember it, but it's all about how your body remembers trauma that you've been through and how your body basically is in charge of everything and your mind is just kind of along for the ride. But obviously I can't read that all the time because, you know, it's a little heavy. So I have been reading some really great new young adult stuff that's coming out. I just started Loser's Bracket by Chris Crutcher, who's one of my favorite young adult authors. He's a former social worker, so his writing is really vivid, and he's in there in the struggle, and he can write kids who are really struggling. And Loser's Bracket is a girl who is in foster care, but she still has a relationship with her birth family that's complicated. So it's when your family is sort of pulling you down, how do you struggle out of it? And it's kind of good for this time of year, actually. But he's a wonderful writer, and I highly recommend him. His best book, I think, is called Staying Fat for Sarah Burns. And we have that here, and it has a terrible cover, so nobody ever checks it out. But I really encourage you, if you come to the library, check that book out. Just give it a chance.
I read that book years ago. I loved it.
Yeah, that's great. He's wonderful.
Awesome. Sounds good. Bethany, would you like to share what you are reading or watching at the moment?
You don't have enough time for what I'm watching, but I am super into this Irish mystery writer whose name is Tana French. She comes out with about one book per year. I'm reading her newest one, which is called The Witch Elm. And, yeah, watching, I mean, how much time do you have? My favorite show right now isn't currently on the air, but I've been watching reruns on Hulu, and that's Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I love
wonderful.
That.
All right, cool. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Well, I just finished reading a really great book. I went kind of classic, an alternate future dystopia. Actually, it's not an alternate future dystopia. It's an alternate past dystopia for us. No, actually, it's... Okay, so it's The Man in the High Castle.
Oh, yeah. Pandemic.
So I guess when he wrote it, it was neither future nor past. It was just alternate right now. But for those of you who aren't familiar with this book, it's set in a timeline where the Axis powers won World War II, and so America has been divided up into sort of a global Reich divided between the Germans on the East Coast and the Japanese on the West Coast. And it takes place mostly in San Francisco, so it's mostly depicting life under the rule of the Japanese, and it opens up in a very interesting tipping point in the history of this alternate universe where the current ruler of the Third Reich is ill and probably dying, and so there's question about, like, what is the world going to come to with whoever else steps in to fill that power vacuum. And there's just sort of this intertwining set of lives of these people who are reading a book, which is about an alternate universe where the Axis powers lost.
Oh.
The alternate book where they win, whose central thesis is about what if they lost. So it's a very interesting kind of twisty book. Yeah, and so I also just finished watching Daredevil Season 3, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And sort of a return to form, I think, for the Marvel Netflix shows. But it's sort of bittersweet because, of course, we had news last week that Stan Lee, one of the founders of Marvel Comics and the creator, co-creator of so many of our iconic characters, passed away. So that was a really sad thing to hear, and I'd like to sort of, you know, give a shout out to Stan. If you're interested in sort of the Marvel story, there's a great book called Marvel Comics, The Untold Story by Sean Howe. It's a reporter's eye view of how Marvel Comics came to be in the first 30 or 40 years of their history. So, of course, Stan plays a big part in that book. So we'll miss you, Stan.
Yeah, we have a lot to be grateful for that he's given us.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Marvel character? Does that put you on the spot?
Oh, it depends on what year it is. When I was, like, 8, it was Gambit from the X-Men.
Okay.
These days, it's more likely Hawkeye, but the comic book version, not the movie version.
Right.
Our geekier listeners will understand the distinction.
Do you like Marvel stuff?
I guess I'm not geeky enough. I was never a big comics person. I'm more a Mad Magazine person.
That's cool. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm not a comics person either, but I'm a huge fan of the Marvel movies and the cinematic universe. And Captain America... it's my first and only.
Absolutely.
Love you, Cap.
Well, Stan Lee definitely helped shape Captain America's story, so he will be missed, but his legacy will definitely live on.
There was a great interview with him on Fresh Air. To shout out our local radio, I was listening to one of the NPR stations, and they played this interview with him, and his just warmth and personality just came right through, and he was a great guy.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, well, I guess that will bring us to the end of our episode. We want to wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving, and we're probably not going to do another episode in December, so happy December 2, happy New Year. We'll talk to you all in 2019.
Woohoo!